Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan in lepo pozdravljeni spet v etru Radija Študent. Z vami sem ta moment Jure Matičič in pa dva člana skupine The Walkman, ki nocoj nastopajo v kinu Šiška skupaj z predskupino Arhibald Arhibaldovič. Ob 9. uri se začne nastop, ki ga zelo, zelo toplo priporočamo že zdaj na začetku, ne glede na to, kaj bo sta fanta zanimivga ali nezanimivga povedala v intervjuju. Tako da zdaj le šaltamo na angliščino. Hello guys.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Welcome to Ljubljana.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So with us we've got Hamilton and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me, how do you like Ljubljana?
Do people understand English here?
Yeah.
We can speak English?
Yeah, of course.
We've had a blast.
Is there any other option?
Yeah, because I was thinking, yeah.
Like a couple words of French, maybe.
That won't help
That won't help at all.
No, that won't help at all.
we've had a blast so far. It's been really nice. We went downtown for dinner last night, hung out, wandered around, got some ice cream. You guys eat a lot of ice cream around here.
There's nothing but ice cream for the 2 miles that we walked. That's all we saw.
It's for the tourists.
Huh.
Yeah. You guys must have a lot of tourists.
Yeah. There's a crowd, you know. Mm-hmm. But tell me, I've been looking at your tour schedule, and you're like way off to the east this time. I mean, most of the gigs are in England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we just flew just for this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's fun to go to new places. That's our goal now, is to try to go. We just went to Istanbul, and we had a great time, and we were excited to come here. So that's going to be what we're going to try to do for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a lot of touring going on lately.
Yeah, this, a lot of touring.
We took a long break, and so now this summer we're doing a lot of festivals, which is always can be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. But those are mostly British, UK festivals.
No, we were just in the Primavera, where we saw your friend over there at Primavera. Mm-hmm. And we're going to Roskilde in Denmark. And mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of British ones.
Lisbon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably always nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And the UK, how's that working out? I mean, the big festivals. How do you feel like...
They're pretty good.
Do you feel you get lost in the...
Yeah.
That huge mass of bands and
Do, but everybody does except for the big ones. You know, we're sort of small fish when you get into that territory.
Mm.
But it worked. The Glastonbury worked out pretty well for us.
Yeah.
Mm. So what, your headliners or just supporting?
In the festival at the Glastonbury, we were very much supporting.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, you play to like, you know, thousands of people, but at the end of the day, they want to come. They want to go see Coldplay. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a festival where you headline it?
Yeah, occasionally you get these weird things where you're like, you know, we headlined a festival in Oklahoma City the other day, which was very odd. Yeah, it went great though. Yeah, but you know, it was just one of these things that all of Oklahoma City was sort of there, and it was just like, how you guys doing?
Do you feel you have more people digging your stuff in the States or in Europe?
In the States, always has been. But this time is the first time we've been able to come to Europe a couple times on a record.
Mm.
And it feels like there's at least a few people who want to hear us.
Yeah.
That's a first. It took 10 years.
Yeah. Actually, you're together for quite a while.
A long time.
You've had, like, what, Lisbon was your...
Fifth record.
Yeah. That's a big, big time span for any band.
Yeah, we really stuck it out.
And you're still the same. Still the same people.
Pretty much.
How do you keep things together?
It's not easy.
I don't know. You know, I think we were very serious about wanting to do this. So, I mean, not, you know, overly serious, but I think we would like to do it.
Just the right amount of seriousness.
Yeah, just the right amount of seriousness, you know. We want to keep doing it, and so we do it despite whatever else. You know?
But you started as friends, obviously.
Yeah, we grew up together.
Mm-hmm. So it was quite obvious to start playing together?
I think so, yeah. You know, there's only so many kids that, like, you know...
We're the only kids who liked what we were doing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
That's how we met, I guess.
Most of you grew up in D.C.
Everybody,
in Washington, all of you. So what made you move to New York?
It's just a... I mean, it's not far, And it's a much, you know, I mean, D.C. is an international city, but New York has more of a, it's, you know, the cultural center of the United States, really. Yeah. So it's, and it's close. So it's from D.C., it's just a place you can, it's easy to want to move there.
Yeah. And did it help? The scene,
yeah,
the,
definitely.
The happening. The
yeah, because you go to these other, you go to D.C. and we lived in Boston for a little while, which is just sort of on the other side,
yeah.
Same distance. And it's, there's like two nightclubs. There's like two that you can play at. And you play at both. And then you play them five times. And then you
walk. People get...
And there's not very many people interested in seeing it. So when you go to New York, there's just a huge group of people that will let you play. And then, you know, maybe come see you and are just interested. A lot more bands.
Did you feel you got more opportunities in New York?
Or
did you get lost in... Because New York's got great potential. I mean, there's a million of bands, you know.
Yeah, there are.
It's harder to...
It was hard at first. It took us a while to get established, but once we did, it sort of worked out.
So when was the moment when you realized, you know, wow, we're doing okay?
I still question that.
I'll get back to you when it happens.
We're planning for like next October, maybe. We'll be okay.
You'll break even.
October 2011.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. But no, we have moments where I think for Hamilton and myself, our old band before we started the Walkman was just a disaster, and we could never figure out how to get out of, you know, get a show on tour or whatever. But you know, people occasionally liked us. But so when we started the Walkman, it was very different. We were able to put a record out. You know, we could. Some of the other guys understood that you had to contact somebody to get somebody to put a record out. So that was, itself was like this momentous thing, and you know, we went on tour quickly, and you know, it went okay. So
it basically still depends a lot on touring, you know, and getting close to people.
Yeah, that's entirely what you.
Yeah, you have to.
That's pretty much the whole. It's the gig.
Because the era when you came together, like the millennium and the switch, was kind of like when the record industry broke down.
Yeah,
basically, it was a hard time for a band. Basically.
It must have been very different. We don't know anything else but a hard time. So I wonder if we had been around 20 years ago, it may have been easier.
Probably.
The music industry is like a grimy place now. Like when we started out, you'd go to these big parties and it would be sort of glitzy, and you go see your friends play it, and their record label would pay for the whole thing, and you know, there's like celebrities and stuff. And now it's like this grimy bottom feeder. Like, I haven't been to anything like that. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. They don't have that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah,
it's really like these, like, you know, just little meeting in like a coffee shop, and you're meeting one guy who looks like. Hungry,
which he probably is.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys get from a label nowadays? I mean,
grief. I don't know. You get like, you get someone to put your records out if you don't want to be the one.
But they do finance your studio.
Yeah, they give you an advance. They give you. I mean, they can sort of calculate what we are minimally able of selling, and then you can work out a little.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
But does it get better over the years?
Yeah, we got a good deal now, so we're happy where we are.
Yeah.
So I suppose Lisbon is your most successful record so far.
I think it's up there.
It's pretty good for us.
Yeah, it's been going well, especially over here. I mean, you know, we had like a tomato farmer putting out a record for 8 years. And then
Raspberry farmer,
excuse me. So it's been a different story.
So in a way, I feel Lisbon is... a very much different record than all the previous ones. At least it feels like that to me. So what was the basis of creating Lisbon?
I think those are the last two records, that one called You and Me and Lisbon. They're like kind of a pair where we just changed our whole setup and our sound and did everything as, you know, just a different way than we had before. I don't know, you know, it's definitely like the other stuff feels a lot like we were younger kids when we did it, and then we kind of grew into a different thing.
For me, Lisbon feels very clean. It's very well produced. It probably depends on the studio you were recording in.
No, I think it's a different way of playing too. I mean, I think definitely the people we worked with helped, you know, the engineers and stuff, they really did a bang up job on it. But it, you know, I think we've tried very hard not to have a lot of reverb and a lot of stuff happening, so that was a big different, whereas we used to just pile stuff on, you know.
Because that's a good point, because a friend of mine, he really mentioned that Lisbon felt like it was really empty in a way.
It was like the point of it, yeah.
There's about like 10 tracks going on every song. There's just very little stuff where we even used the whole, you know, the whole board.
So what's the whole bunch of tracks you recorded? How many of those were online? Yeah, for Lisbon.
Oh, for we recorded a lot of songs, yeah.
We did. We recorded like probably 30 songs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was, in a way, a creative boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't all good, though, at all.
who makes the selection?
We all did. I mean, there's rarely a time where somebody like loves something and everybody else hates it. Like that happens occasionally, but yeah,
there was really like 10, 11 songs that everybody liked in the end. I think the rest of it was almost like an autistic quality to it or something. Like, you know, where you just keep making songs and you're like, I mean, there's no way the song's gonna be good, and then you just finish it.
Yeah.
And then you make this odd B-side of a 7-inch you record exclusively somewhere.
There's a lot of those B-sides, but they, you know, because there's all these different companies that are trying to make a buck on you, and you gotta give them a B-side. So they all just get kind of thrown out into, you know, Amazon and iTunes, you know, Japanese B-side kind of thing.
How did you guys choose the name Lisbon, which is quite not very typical for an American band to choose?
We just traveled over there, and it was sort of an interesting place to us. We were there for like 48 hours, and we had a good time. We all went out on the town and liked it a lot. So it just sort of had a quality to it that we thought was sort of exotic and strange. And we hoped that our music sort of had that similar quality, and you know, just thought it was appropriate. But there wasn't any, like, you know, particularly great reason to name your record after city. But it worked out well because the people there were really fantastic people, and they were really kind to us, and a lot of people came to our show, and you know, it's been fantastic. Yeah.
So in a way it reflects the feeling of your music.
I mean, I don't know, it's not like a direct, that's kind of a stretch for us to, yeah, to say that, but it was like a, for one reason or another, we all agreed on it and liked it because we just had this really great time there twice while we were writing the record. So like, for us it rang true, you know.
Probably not for anyone who ever has been to Lisbon or lived in Lisbon.
I still like the way that it worked out, honestly. Yeah, and that we don't. That's unusual.
Yeah, it's
So you guys recorded the record in New York and in Texas.
Yeah.
Which one was better? Which had the better feeling?
Well, it's not fair. It was Texas had the better feeling, but that's because it wasn't the New York guy's fault. Things get stale a lot faster than you have control. You lose perspective. Mm-hmm. And the guy in New York does a great job and has a great studio, but we sort of lost our way a little bit. And then the guy in Texas really breathed new life, and it was great what he did. But I mean, and he did a great job too, but it's, you know, they both were, we got a lot more out of the Texas stuff, but it wasn't the New York guy's fault. He does a bang up job.
But was it the feeling of Texas?
No.
Because it's completely different.
It's just a room. It was just a room. You just walk into this. I mean, the neighborhood is just, I mean, it's a dump. It's like, but.
That works for us, though, for some weird reason.
Yeah, it was like an uncomfortable place, and it was a small garage, kind of. And it just sounded great. And it was very simple and stripped down, and that's what we wanted to do.
With a lot of analog equipment, old stuff.
Actually, he didn't. His equipment was not that impressive. The guy in New York has much better stuff. He just—I don't know. Honestly, he did stuff that it was kind of amazing the way that he was able to make stuff and make it sound really loud and good. I don't know. He's pretty great.
Because you guys kind of are into old instruments and older stuff. What's the reason? Does it? Obviously, it sounds better.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only reason.
Really,
and they look cooler too, you know. So, I mean, if you're a collector, we're not the only ones who know this. That's why they're expensive, you know. But you know, if you get into guitars or something, you know, it's just like anything else. You just sort of get more and more interested in like the older ones.
Is it hard to get those? I mean, 20 years back, you could probably get them in a garage sale or something.
Paul's got a guitar that you can't find. You would not be able to find it anywhere. My guitar, I've never seen another one like mine. I haven't.
I use a sampler, a synthesizer.
From the 90s.
From the 90s, yeah.
Which is obviously hard to get nowadays.
We looked up on the internet what the Wu-Tang Clan used. Because we decided we're going to push our upright piano off the side of a bridge because we just couldn't carry it anymore for 10 years. And then all my organs were breaking. So then I got this sampler that the RZA uses, and I recorded a piano, sampled a piano, and sampled all my organs. So now I'm happy as a clam, and everything weighs about 2 pounds. Whereas, you know, it was like
because obviously if you use the Rhodes on tour, it breaks down.
I'm not talking about Rhodes, man. I'm talking about piano.
Like a real piano. Yeah.
We carried it for years, for 10 years.
For a decade. And this is
like
the second
full, huge.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Nice one. I mean, you guys, you mentioned the Wu-Tang Clan, the RZA. You have all this, I checked out your blog, and you have all these different situations, like a Texan funk band who uses the same instruments as you guys.
Yeah, really? What's the convention called? What's his name? Drawing a block down.
No, it's all these different funk references. How much
funk?
It sounded like at least 10 posts were about really funky bands.
Where funky. This is on our website?
Yeah.
I know the Texas band you're talking about, they were like a garage rock band.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have all these videos on it that Walt put up. Like there's a Cramps video and Cramps.
So that's band. Your obvious influences, more bluesy stuff, folk stuff.
Just different stuff. Just anyone who's kind of the real deal. You know, you kind of pick out people. It's not like a genre. It's like you find somebody you like and you love and you get into them.
Obvious influences? Any Godfathers in a way?
I mean, like the Rolling Stones or something. You know, just really obvious ones. Mm. But then, you know, I think that...
The Pogues?
The Pogues are a big one, yeah. Bob Marley, I guess. The one we always talk about probably the most.
Yeah, you talk a lot about dancehall.
Yeah.
Was that an influence?
It's because Walt does the website. He loves dancehall. He likes Yellow Man.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
Yeah, because he's so disgusting looking. That's why Walt likes it.
Okay, so you guys formed from two bands that broke apart.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What made you join, in a way? It just worked out? Or
yeah, it just worked out that our other two bands, like, there was at least like one lunatic in each of them, and then like one guy wanted to go to grad school, so we had to do something to keep being in a band.
One lunatic in each band.
it's true, is it not? Yeah. So it was time to go, you know, and so we started a new band.
And the name, The Walkman, how did that happen?
That was just a mistake, and that was a mistake. We're considering rectifying it now by changing our name now because we all agreed.
Do bands ever change their names?
Like 10 years in, but it's always a
disaster.
They do,
but yeah, it's a disaster.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way out. You're stuck with, if we could just get rid of that stupid.
You can have a new name and like formerly known as
The Walkman, but then you think, oh man, it's like the singer's not going to be there. It's going to be some like 20-year-old guy like. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't show up for the show, I bet.
But
formally The Walkman.
But Sony never showed up, and
no, we were worried about that. But no, they never
waiting.
Came.
Yeah,
that's quite interesting because they had smaller bands and sued them for names.
Really?
Yeah,
Sony did specifically.
No, not Sony, but you know, people.
Oh yeah,
our friends they got sued. Mazarin, because some band from the '60s was called Mazarin.
Yeah, and totally irrelevant, probably.
Yeah. No, they were. Like,
they got
like
really
a,
nasty.
A hair
they,
metal band from.
They
Long
really
Island.
Did. They said they had lawyers calling and all this stuff. It was so stupid.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I think we're slowly running out of time.
All right.
And just a few tips. What can we expect tonight? What stuff do you play? Is it an array of everything?
Yeah, it's just the last 10 years.
Yeah.
A little overview.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have a great show. Thank
you
for coming to the studio.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Have a good tour.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks
summer.
A lot.
Cool.
Nice to meet you.
Tako torej, The Walkman nocoj v kinu Šiška. Ob 9:00 se zadeva začne in seveda toplo, toplo vabljeni. Čau.
Okay.
Intervju Radija Študent.